Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. Today we're previewing Indiana's trip to Happy Valley as they take on the number 4 Penn State Nittany Lions. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is TJ Inman. He'll be with us shortly. Via phone. Anyway, Indiana travels to Happy Valley to take on the 4th-ranked Nittany Lions. The Hoosiers are winless at Beaver Stadium, but a big game coming up. Indiana's 2-1. Penn State coming off an emotional win at Iowa last week. It's 4-0. The game with a lot of implications. It's another chance for IU to break through. It's also Penn State needs this to carry on and get to a Big Ten championship game and potentially the college football playoff. We bring in TJ Inman. TJ, how are you tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. Beautiful weather outside right now. And, we're done through the 90s. We survived Saturday's game. It was certainly a hot one, but overall a pretty solid performance by the Hoosiers. You got the feeling that they could have set the score in that one if they really felt like it. The only real negative to come out of it is that IU's pretty beat up, not because of the opponent, just because of, it's football and things happen. And right now IU's kind of on the bad end of the injury bug. Nothing appears to be that we are aware of right now. Nothing appears to be season ending for any of these guys, but certainly a lot of question marks for health reasons heading into Penn State.
Yeah, the injury list was like a paragraph or too long. Keontae Walton will be out. It looks like Juan Harris is out, extremely doubtful, but they said out. And then we'll see what's going on in the secondary with Marcelino Ball, Rashard Fant, and A'shaun Riggins. Hopefully they get them all back. Nate Hoff is also in doubt as well there along the defensive line. So IU will be banged up on that defensive side of the ball going up against a very tough Penn State offense that has arguably the best running back in the country and a quarterback who could sling it down the field and make some plays with his feet. So, TJ, it's going to be a tough road to hoe going forward for IU. But I do want to point out that maybe this Penn State team, at least we know some of the Penn State media is not treating this Indiana Hoosiers with the respect they deserve. They Penn Live, PennLive.com, in their preview that came out either last night or this morning, called IU a group of 2- and 3-star mutts. And even got the name of Richard Lego wrong, calling him Richard the Tau, which some IU fans have taken offense to and even have had some fun with, saying that the Tau is the super quarterback that you make in your NCAA game by combining Tyler Nitti and Richard Lego. We'll see. I don't think IU is going to pay attention to it, as Tom Allen has the motto earmuffs and blinders, but it is definitely something to look at if IU ends up winning. Keeping this game close is, how do you attack this? Other teams, we've seen the arrogance of other schools who just expect to beat IU. Well, IU's no longer the can getting kicked down the road anymore. And I think schools are sooner or later going to find that out the hard way and maybe give IU the respect that they deserve by getting the names of their starting quarterback correct and not calling them mutts, basically. You know, whenever a dog is called a mutt, it's usually because they come from different backgrounds of pets. But usually when you go to the pound, it's a mangy mutt and things like that. So I can get why IU fans are mad. But anyway, this is going to be a tough test for IU. TJ, let's get into some keys to the game. What is your first key to the game this weekend?
Well, I mean, the obvious, you know, the first obvious one is Indiana's battling potentially the best backfield in the country in running back Saquon Barkley and quarterback Trace McSorley. So that would be the kind of obvious one, is to you know, somehow try to limit them. As Tom Allen said, you figure out what they do really well, try to take that away, and make them beat you with what they're not great at. And as he said, if they beat you with what they're not great at, and that's, I think that's a very good line, and a way to approach it is, you do everything you can to make Penn State or any team beat you with what they are not great at. And if they can still do it, then they're probably a great team, or at least they were on that day. And that's what Indiana's going to try to do. And for me, the best way to limit Penn State's offense is probably going to be to keep IU's offense on the field. So for me, I'm going with establishing the running game, and an extension of that would be using the passing game to keep the ball as well. So the short passing game, that's an extension of the running game, establishing that as well. Indiana has, you know, they ran the ball well, or at least Morgan Ellison did, against Georgia Southern. Penn State, obviously, a completely different animal. Being said, this Penn State defensive line and their front seven is not as good as Ohio State's is. And it's, you know, Virginia's defensive line, I think, is better than anybody expected it to be heading into the season. So I do think that Indiana could have some success here with Brandon Knight and Mackenzie Dwara in there on the offensive line. I think it looked better. How much of that was just Georgia Southern, and how much of that was actual improvement along the line from Indiana? But I think you'll see a pretty good Indiana running game on Saturday and moving forward, because I have a lot of confidence in Morgan Ellison and his ability. I think that he's shown, you know, he is at the very least a Big Ten starting caliber running back. So I'm excited to see him go against a good defense. And I think that you're going to look for Indiana to still use tempo, but I think you use it intelligently. You use it as a mix-up of your, you know, your offense that I think you're going to be trying to run all day, which is more ball control, and then you mix in that tempo when you get Penn State on their heels, and try to, you know, push those drives through. Something we saw against Georgia Southern that I think is another element of the running game is Peyton Ramsey coming in, particularly as a red zone quarterback. They used that some in the first half as Richard Lego was still in the game. When Indiana got down inside the 25, they brought in Peyton Ramsey. Now, Georgia Southern's defense couldn't offer much resistance against either quarterback. And really, it was against Morgan Ellison they couldn't offer much resistance. But I think that that'll be an interesting wrinkle to watch, is how much run Peyton Ramsey gets just as a runner to try and keep IU's offense on the field. And, you know, the longer the Hoosiers are able to maintain possession, the less time Barkley and McSorley have on the field.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. It's kind of what you saw Iowa do to them last week. But,
yes,
you know,
yes.
I think the key to this game is you've got to protect the ball. Penn State has, I believe, 10 takeaways on the year in four games. IU's got to take care of the ball, and really you cannot give – TJ, as you said, ball control is going to be, you know, keeping this Penn State offense off the field. That the key to that is ball control. Well, you can't give them extra possessions either. You got to take care of the ball. and drives with a kick, either a punt or a field goal or extra point. End it with the kick. That way, you know, you're going to win, hopefully win the field position battle and put points up on the board. Otherwise, if you give Penn State some extra possessions with good field position, man, they're going to kill you. This team is averaging 40.5 points per game. They have a red zone percentage close to 90% at 88.9. They're fourth down convert. They're 4-for-6 and converting around 35% on third downs as well. So just keep this offense on the field. Don't turn the ball over. Don't give Penn State easy fields to convert. That, you know, goes hand in hand with your key to the game. TJR, another thing that IU needs to do to get this historic win at Beaver Stadium.
I think that Penn State's offense really thrives on explosive plays. They are as explosive an offense as you'll find. Trace McSorley loves to throw the deep ball. He throws it very well. And their offensive coordinator, Moorhead, is considered to be – I don't think he'll be Penn State's offensive coordinator very much longer if he's interested in a head coaching position. At the FBS level, I think he'll have one after this season at one of these jobs that's going to become open. He's had a major, major difference on that Penn State offense and that program overall. And I do think that, they will look to stretch the field against IU secondary. So for me, it's limiting those big plays, whether that's Saquon Barkley runs, deep passes, Saquon Barkley receptions. You're not going to totally cut them out, but limiting those explosive plays, making Penn State's offense work its way down the field, as opposed to picking up huge chunks and getting that crowd riled up and really into the game, it could turn into an avalanche pretty quickly. If Penn State's able to get a couple of big plays back-to-back, the crowd could really get revved up, and it could turn into an avalanche against Indiana pretty quickly. That is something that Penn State's very capable of. Their receiving game, I'm not overly impressed by their receivers that they were hoping stepped up. I think Deshaun Hamilton is fine, but I don't think he's quite the target that they had hoped he'd turn into. Saeed Blacknall, again, he's fine. Juwan Johnson is probably their most talented receiver, and he's definitely their most physically imposing. He's a player that seems to get better every week, so if he turns into a true number one target, he can be a real handful for secondaries, particularly IU, if Rashard Fant is unable to go, which I do think Fant's going to play. But Johnson is a big receiver that could give Fant some issues. And Riggins, from my perspective in the stands on Saturday, it certainly looked like a head injury. I don't know if it was a concussion or not, but it looked like one that could keep him out for a week or two. So, the corner position, you could be dealing with, maybe Tyver Green gets possessions or gets snaps against Juwan Johnson more than you expect. Andre Brown in there as well. But Raheem Lane, maybe, bigger guys that you're going to try to match up against Juwan Johnson. And then another problem is Mike Gesicki, who is a really good tight end. And a matchup problem due to his size and ability. So, like I said, I'm not overly impressed by their receiving targets, but it's a deep group, and it is overall a very good group, that if Juwan Johnson really gets off, you're in trouble, because he's, like I said, he's big, he's physically imposing, and he's capable of those big plays. So my key is overall going to be limiting those big plays from Penn State. I don't know how possible it is to limit Saquon Barkley. He's quite possibly the best player in the country. You want to prevent him from totally taking the game over and then more or less shutting down the rest of their big play targets. obviously you don't want to let Saquon Barkley beat you, but you're going to be in real trouble if those other guys step up and make huge plays because Barkley's going to get his.
Yeah, and, you know, you go through their receiving stats. Their leading receiver is Saquon Barkley with 23 catches for 335 yards, two scores. The next guy is tight end Mike Gesicki, who has four touchdowns on 17 catches, 148 yards. So, you know, it's coming in into the season. Penn State was supposed to have this great wide receiver core, and they've really underwhelmed. Deshaun Hamilton, 11 catches. Juwan Johnson, 14 catches. DeAndre Tompkins, 8 catches. Saeed Blacknall, 4 catches. Brandon Polk, 3 catches. Quarterback has 4 receptions. So, you know, what does that say about this receiving core and trying to keep them one-dimensional? My second key to the game, TJ, is kind of like that limit the big plays. It's win the 50-50 balls.
Yeah.
Last year you saw IU won that in the first half. They had taken a 10-point lead in the third quarter, came out of the third quarter with a lead, and then all of a sudden Penn State started to win those 50-50 balls and ended up pulling away for 45-31 win in Bloomington. Win those 50-50 balls. If that means, you know, intercept them or knock them down, do something that prevents the catch that we saw last year where McSorley extended plays with his legs, chucked it up, and those receivers last year went up and got the ball and made the play. This season, hopefully the secondary is not as banged up as the injury report leads you to believe to be, where some of these, at least two out of the three of these guys come back and play. Just, you know, make these plays. Go knock the ball down, knock the ball away, and stop these, as you said, stop the big plays. But win those 50-50 plays. Also, IU fumbled 5 times. They lost 5 fumbles.
Yeah.
You got to hop on, you know, fumbles hit the ground all the time. Go hop. You got to recover your fumbles, their fumbles. You know, maybe the turnover luck will be a little bit better. But, yeah, those 50-50 balls on the ground. You know, it's almost like a basketball. The loose ball situations, like those, in order to win this game. That's my second key to the game. TJ, what is a matchup to watch? There's a lot of intriguing matchups this week. Alex Compton wrote about the matchup between Tigre Scales and Saquon Barkley. It's two All-Americans going head-to-head, linebacker, running back. You expect, especially after last week, after Josie Jewell made 16 tackles last week. Saquon Barkley went for 300 and something total yards last week.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, you know, it's kind of an immovable object meets an unstoppable force, and that's what happens. Tigre Scales has got to be in Saquon Barkley's back pocket the entire day to shut him down, and he's going to need a help from his friends on defense as well. So I shout out to Alex for that. That's a great matchup to watch. For me, it's going to be the defensive line against Trace McSorley. Can they keep him in the – can they keep him from scoring to extend plays? You know, you don't have to sack him all the time, but, you know, contain him around, make him throw the ball up, make him throw the ball away. Things like that will go a long way in terms of winning this game. What's your matchup to watch?
But I do think, obviously, the Tigre Scales versus Saquon Barkley is, you know, definitely the star matchup. And, you know, just a little note on Josie Jewell versus Barkley. Josie Jewell played a phenomenal game last Saturday. But late in the game, Saquon Barkley caught a pass as Penn State's driving down the field. He put a move on Josie Jewell on the sideline, just a hesitation move, and then a burst, just tiptoeing down the sideline that picked up vital extra yards for Penn State and got him out of bounds as opposed to Jewell making the tackle in bounds. And that ultimately could have proved to be the deciding factor in that contest, as you know, Penn State was able to score on the last play of the game. So it, you know, that matchup to watch for Iowa Penn State ended up being a matchup that you know, both players delivered, and Barkley made the final play between those two. But I'm going to focus on the other side of the ball of Indiana's offense against Penn State's defense. I do feel like that's the undercard in this one, which is kind of weird to say, but it's becoming a norm for IU games. And that's I have no problem with it. It's fun to be excited about a defense, but I think Indiana's offense is going to have a really good day if IU's going to stay in this one. And for me, it's going to be Richard Lego against Penn State's secondary. I think he's got the weapons, even if Donovan Hale's not able to go. I do think IU has the weapons to cause Penn State's secondary some problems, but they will need an A-plus performance from Richard Lego. And, you know, we saw that for most of the Ohio State game. We did not see it against Virginia, obviously. And then against Georgia Southern, Indiana just didn't need the passing game. They barely threw it. Lego had a really nice ball to Ian Thomas, where Ian Thomas then just went to beast mode and scored, and Lego was hurt on the play. He definitely, you would expect him to be 100% with no lingering effects from that late hit from Georgia Southern, one of many questionable hits they had on the day. But I think Lego's going to have to be really, really good on Saturday if Indiana wants to stay in the game, because Penn State's offense is going to score. Indiana's defense could play an awesome game, and the result of it could be that Penn State scores 30. I mean, that might be an awesome performance from IU's defense, depending on how those points come about. So if Indiana's to stay in it, it means their offense is going to have to produce. And I think the best way for them to do that is going to be Richard Lego finding Simi Cobbs, finding Ian Thomas, being accurate, making great decisions, taking care of the ball, converting on third downs when Indiana gets put in the third and medium or third and long, finding Luke Timian. You know, it's just a team effort for the offense, but Lego's going to have to be the guy that stirs the drink.
Yeah, and this offense is going to have to put up points. You can't beat this Penn State just playing great on defense and mediocre on offense. You're going to have to make some plays. Lego last year had a good game. There were, again, some 50-50 balls that went off of receivers' hands and went off of some other people's hands as well that could have gone for big plays or touchdowns. Richard Lego against this defense is going to be huge. TJ, finally, let's get to some score predictions before we wrap this up. What is your prediction for Saturday?
Well, as much as the arrogance of the three, you know, biggies in the Big Ten East, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, the arrogance of their fan bases, their beat writers, and in some cases their coaches, it's tiresome, it's galling, and I really, really want Indiana to knock off one of these teams this season, and kind of put a major damper on their seasons. And I think it'd be an amazing victory for Indiana's program to beat a Penn State or beat a Michigan. I certainly understand why those programs are, you know, high and mighty, if you will. I get it. I understand they've got gigantic fan bases. They have, you know, major traditions of winning and success. So I do understand, but just the arrogance is the best word I can think of to describe the way that they approach contests against schools like Indiana or Northwestern or Maryland, I guess. Just with disregard of Indiana's personnel and seem like Indiana's a MAC school that they fully expect to beat by 35 points. And I would love to sit here and feel confident Indiana was going to go into Happy Valley and come out with a win, but I don't feel that's realistic. And, you know, we don't, as we are generally positive, but I'd like to think that we also don't delve too much into dreamland very often. So I'll go Penn State 34, Indiana 20. I think Indiana is competitive and has a good showing of it, but the injuries that IU is facing, as well as playing on the road in a hostile environment, plus I think Saquon Barkley and Trace McSorley are able to wear down Indiana's defense to pull away a little bit late. And I do think Indiana is right there at halftime, but never really feels like it's going to be an upset. And Penn State wins it by 14.
Yeah, and there's going to be some interesting things in this game. It's a conference road game, which means you're going to have a limited roster, travel roster. So,
yeah.
You know, are they going to cut the rotation at running back? I know a lot of fans have asked me about Tyler Natiz. We saw him on the sideline last week, TJ, dressed. He did not look like he was in great shape and ready to go.
He
did not have his helmet. He didn't look like he was in tip-top shape. And I don't know if he travels on Saturday. So
Brookins and Rodriguez, right? Brookins and Rodriguez both saw action on Saturday.
Yep.
Devontae Williams had a screen pass for a touchdown. But the running back rotation for now appears to be Ellison, Guess, and then third string is just probably largely situational. But it looks like Ellison and Guest are the guys for now. And Majette did not dress last game. We don't know what the injury is there or the severity of it. But, you know, unfortunately, Mike Majette being injured is not really breaking news or a new story. It's been kind of the tale of his IU career, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that he's injured. And, you know, even though he wasn't producing all that much, you know, we really haven't had a fair shake to see what he could do.
No.
Anyway, going into this game, IU's never won in Happy Valley. They've beaten Penn State once since they joined the conference in the 90s. You know, I don't feel confident going into this game at all. Although it's not a season record. This is a game on paper that we knew going into the season was arguably the most difficult game on the IU schedule. Is them, you know, playing Penn State on the road or Ohio State at home are the two, you know, most difficult games on the schedule. You know, Penn State has looked really good this year at times. I think coming off the emotional win at Iowa, we'll see how they react to that. Is this a game that's going to kind of have a hangover effect going into the next game? Or is this one that energizes the team coming off a buzzer beater touchdown to win that game on the road at Kinnick Stadium? Does that energize the team the rest of the way? Kind of like the Penn State win over Minnesota did last year, where they went on a terrific run after beating Minnesota in overtime. But I'm going to go Penn State 38, IU 20 in this one. And, it's going to be – hopefully it's close early, and then maybe IU can make some plays to make it a closer game. But it's never been done before. They have never beaten Penn State at Penn State. I know it's always true until it happens for the first time, but I don't know if this is the year to do it, especially with the injuries that they have at those key positions. If you're going to stop the run, you're going to need your defensive tackles, and they're down two bodies there more than likely. And then if you're going to stop that passing game, you're going to need Riggins, Rashard Fant, and Marcelino there in coverage as well. And who knows what their availability is 100%, but if they're missing, you know, one or two of those guys, it's going to make a big difference. I just think IU just doesn't have the depth and the manpower yet to overcome the amount of injuries that were on that list. They could overcome an injury to a guy or two, but when you have an injury list that goes on for half a page and a lot of them are either starters or key depth, it's going to hurt. So I'm going to go Penn State 38, IU 20, and you know we'll hope for the best. I'll be watching the game intensely, and then you know I think the goal for this game is just get out of this healthy, have a good showing, and move on with the rest of your season. You got Georgia Southern after this, a chance to go get that
Charleston.
Sorry. Charleston Southern. We just got off
Georgia
Southern. Yeah, the Buccaneers. So likely that, and then you have the rest of your Big Ten schedule to go. So, you know, just get out of this game healthy, have your confidence up, and if you come out with the win, it's bonus. I mean, it'd be a tremendous thing for this program to win on the road and gain some respect back, but get out of this game healthy, kind of like the Ohio State game last year. Get out of it healthy, go get the rest of your schedule, and go get those six wins down the road. Anyway, TJ, thanks for joining us. It's always great talking college football with you. Unfortunately, we will not be in Happy Valley. I will be watching the game from my back porch on Twitter, so it's the first time I've watched a game live on TV since the 2014 season, so we'll be covering it from a different vantage point. Interesting to see how that works out. But thanks for joining us, TJ, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, absolutely. It's always great to be on. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Like Sammy said, we have great coverage all week leading up to the game and after the game. Then we'll turn our attention to Charles Southern, followed by another huge top 10 matchup against Michigan.
Yeah, and that does it for the Hoosier Huddle podcast this week. Check back to HoosierHuddle.com. We have our matchup to watch, story on Morgan Ellison from Evan McShane, Inside the Numbers from David Sugarman. We'll have our Keys to Victory come out tomorrow. Just TJ's Primer come out Saturday morning just to get you ready for this Penn State game. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes to the podcast. And hopefully we entertain you to and from work or wherever you're listening. And thank you, and we'll talk to you next week.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.